It's Financial Freedom Friday, and on this episode of the Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks podcast, we are going to decode commercial loans for passive investors.
Hey Mavericks, this is Ava Baukamp, and this episode of Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks is brought to you by Legacy Impact Investors. We are an industrial investment firm located in cash flow country, the Midwest. We strive to shield off risk and beat inflation, all while producing predictable cash flow. We curate real estate investment opportunities for busy professionals and other real estate investors seeking passive income. To learn more about what we do and connect with me, go to www.legacyimpactinvestors.com.
Maverick, noun, unusual person, a visionary, leader, go-getter, an independent thinker. They see the vision for their life and pull that future towards them with an unyielding belief that things can and must be better. They achieve what most won't. Innovative, influential, daring, and direct, with a remarkably high tolerance for taking calculated risk. A foe to the status quo. This is Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks. Your host, Neil Timmons, has been involved with over $300 million in real estate transactions. He's a published author, commercial property investor, and real estate syndicator. This show is for those who want to learn how to earn passive income through real estate investing. Now, here's your host, Neil Timmons.
Welcome to the Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks podcast, where we provide you with actionable steps for you to grow your passive income and become job optional. It's Financial Freedom Friday, and I'm here with Neil Timmons. During this episode, you are going to decode commercial loans as a passive investor. For those of you who are new, I'm your host, Ava Baukamp, and I love to educate investors about passive income from commercial real estate. Before I open up today's episode, I want to ask you for a small favor. If you like what you're hearing, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the show so that you never miss a valuable episode. And if you love what you're hearing, please give us a written review. Also, be sure to take a look at the description of this episode as we have it packed with thousands of dollars in free resources. All right, Neil, it's another Financial Freedom Friday. How are you doing?
I'm doing terrific. It's going to be a fun one. We're going to be talking about loans, and it is so important for past investors to understand what type of loan they're getting into, because the loan matters almost today, almost as much as the deal itself.
Yeah, this is going to be the first of actually three podcasts covering commercial loans and how to understand commercial loans from the perspective of a passive investor. And part of this just came up because we're seeing so many headlines around loans and debt service and commercial debt. And we wanted to give you as a passive investor the tools and the behind the scenes look so that you could understand why are some of these properties in trouble and how can you ask the right questions ahead of time so that you don't put yourself in that kind of position as a passive investor. So we like to say that commercial loans, they're not like your grandma's house loan. So I pulled up an article from Rocket Mortgage and the National Association of Realtors that the average first-time home buyer pays about 6% of their home price as their down payment as of late 2022. So the median home sale price in the U.S. was just around $400,000 as of Q2 2023. So if you're buying a house for around that $400,000 mark, a 6% down payment would be only $24,000. So why do I open up with this? Because commercial loans are fundamentally different from residential loans. And one of those features is the down payment. So we're going to cover some structure, a basic outline today, and then tie that back for you as a passive investor about why that matters. So just to refresh, basic residential loans are evaluated, assess the individual borrower. So the person who's buying the home, they assess the property, that individual house, using a comparables approach. So comparable properties down the street, around the block, can largely determine from a lender's perspective how much they're willing to lend on that particular home. The borrower makes a down payment anywhere from that 0 to 20%, depending on the bank, the borrower. Obviously, there are exceptions to that, But like I opened, the average first-time homebuyer only pays 6% down. And then the loan is fully amortized over 15, 30 years, meaning the schedule of the principal and interest is evenly distributed over the entirety of that loan. Neil, can you reveal for everyone how commercial loans are structurally different from residential loans?
Yeah, they're different in so many ways. It's really unbelievable. The very first thing is, when it comes to evaluating the property and underwriting it from an appraisal standpoint, an income approach is utilized. When a commercial property is worth some total, all of its income, and then you put a cap rate on top of that to be able to get the value of the property. So it looks very different. And that means it could be far greater than what it costs to construct that building. It could also be far less than what it costs to construct that building. The ratio, the loan to value or the loan to cost, at the minimum today, what we see in today's environment is that you're going to end up with 20% down. And as banks get tighter, or we're seeing this a little bit where it's 25 or 30, depending on what type of asset class you're in. And some of the, let's say mobile home parks, for example, might be 25 to 35% down. And if you're on the new development, maybe you're in land, oftentimes it's 40 to 50% down.
Whoa, let's put some numbers to that for the audience. So we opened up this episode with a 6% down payment on a $400,000 house. Essentially, the bank, they're financing that remaining 94%. But let's say you're going to go out buying a commercial property that's worth $8 million. Yeah. That's a huge down payment for you as the person who's looking at buying that property.
Yeah, as the investor, you know what? The big thing is the lender wants stability, and the bank, they want to know if they're taking a risk. They want to know that this property is stable, then they get a cushion. And so, yeah, on an $8 million deal, you're talking about $2.8 million, 35% down. It's oftentimes tremendous cushion for a bank to be able to underwrite and get comfortable with that, to know that you've got a cushion should something go awry in the environment.
Yeah, definitely. Another difference of commercial loans from residential loans is they are often structured with a term period. So maybe it's a five-year loan with a balloon payment. Mm-hmm. But instead of you pay it evenly over 5 years, it might be amortized over a longer period of time. So like 30 years, just to reduce those payments. Because if you had a giant loan over just 5 years, those are huge monthly payments. But instead, they often have it amortized over a long period with a big balloon payment that is 100% due and payable after, say, those 5 years. So, Neil, can you talk a little bit about how we've seen that come into play recently with a lot of properties being in trouble as they look to refinance?
Yeah. So let's talk about that. What does amortization mean? It looks like a home loan that's 30 years, meaning the payments are spread out over the course of 30 years. So that would be true to set your monthly payment. But the balloon means that's good, but at the end of 5 years, it's due and payable. So yeah, the remaining balance is due and payable. Yes. And so to further your question is, what happens when it becomes due and payable? Well, most people go in and maybe they sell the property, but most oftentimes they refinance the property. They want to keep that. Well, you know, just a couple of years ago, interest rates were 3-4% plus or minus, somewhere in that range. And today they're 7-8%. So when their 5 years is up and they roll off their 4% that they used to have, and now it's 7.5%, the payments are very different. And that can put a crunch on them when it comes to their loan to value. The bank still says, let's call it 35% down. The bank still says, hey, we need to be at 35% from a valuation standpoint. And unless their income has really moved, they can be in a challenging situation, which means they're forced in many cases to go sell it, or they're forced to write a check to the bank
just to refinance,
to pay down their loan amount in order to refinance and keep the property.
Yeah, that I think is something that we're seeing a lot in the headlines recently. And it's important for as a passive investor to understand that may not necessarily due to poor operations or mismanagement, but it does come down to not necessarily having a good long-term perspective and mitigating the risk that is within your control to say, hey, I know rates have been really low for a long time, but that can't necessarily be our assumption that it's always going to stay that way, even if it has been trending that way for the past couple of years.
You're right about that. You know, one of the things to be able to do when you're evaluating a potential opportunity is to ask these questions. You're obviously listening to this to educate yourself, but then it's, hey, at the end of 5 years, what happens? And then listen to that. And did you stress test? Which means what we do is, do a standard underwriting. And at the end of 5 years, it's what happens if they go up 1%, 2%, 3%. We stress test that through to know, where are we going to be if this occurs? Are you a passive real estate investor seeking financial freedom? Well, today's market's unique and it's ever changing. Now is the time to get educated on how to strategically invest in commercial real estate for long-term financial freedom. Grab your copy of How to Passively Invest in a Changing Economic Environment. Go to www.mavericksinvest.com.
Yeah, that's great. Neil, can you also talk a little bit about some of the requirements that may come into play in terms of recourse versus non-recourse loans in the commercial space?
Yeah, most loans, it depends on what size you're at. So let's just talk about the differences. Recourse versus non-recourse just means what it sounds like. What it means is that there is recourse. So in the event of a default, that the signer on the loan, the person providing that guarantee for that recourse, is the bank is coming after or coming to them and they're looking for more money. The bank is looking to be made whole. And that's what recourse means. Non-recourse just means if this deal goes bad, and there's typically carve-outs, which means, you know, if you commit fraud, you're going to have full recourse. You have a whole world of other problems. But in a standard non-recourse loan, if something goes awry, there is no recourse. The deposit which you've made, your down payment which you've made, and the property, that is the extent of what the bank is taking.
And is it true that typically larger loans then fall into that non-recourse?
Typically larger loans, you have a greater ability to have a non-recourse. And certain types of apartment loans fall into, when they're agency loans, certainly fall into this non-recourse category.
The last thing I'll touch on here very quickly on the commercial loan side is, as an investor, you just have to understand there are covenants and requirements, conditions that go on even after the property has been purchased. So if you're investing with someone, they generally have to provide financial reporting, tax returns, a bunch of other documentation for the last handful of years just to get through underwriting and get the loan. And then subsequently in the years after, while that loan is still in place, they're required legally to provide certain documentation to their lender every single year in order to maintain compliance with those loan covenants and conditions. So I want to move on and talk about how commercial loan interest rates are set, because this is another thing we've already kind of touched on this very briefly. But the way that commercial interest rates are set is they're set based on an index plus a margin, and that equals the rate. Pretty much this applies to all loans, but for commercial, the three main indices that are used for 5-year treasury, 10-year treasury, the bank prime rate, and the SOFR rate. So Neil, can you talk a little bit about those four rates and how that impacts commercial loans?
Yeah. So why are there four rates that we're going over? It's because each bank is different. It just depends on the bank. There's no right or wrong. It's just a function of where does a bank set and price their loans. They pick their index as they see that works in their business model, and the margin as they see that works in their business model. And so my experience is the treasuries, either the 5-year or the 10-year, typically are the ones that are most utilized, and then putting a margin on top of that. And I've seen the margin range in a wild fashion as well. But they're trying to get this tied in ultimately to their cost of funds. How much does it cost them? When you think cost of funds from a bank, think of CD rates and what they pay us in checking accounts, almost none. When we make deposits there, right? Savings accounts. How much does it cost them for their deposits? So that ultimately becomes their cost of funds. And then they're adding a margin on top of that to create spread, to create that interest in which they charge us. And that's how they operate. And ultimately, that's how a bank profits.
Yeah. And then on top of that, the person securing the loan can get a fixed or variable floating rate. They can purchase a rate lock. So essentially, we'll just put it into two buckets, either fixed or a variable rate loan. And fixed is exactly what it sounds like. It's fixed for that term. Think of it as a 5-year term. It'll be fixed, same interest rate that whole time. Or it might be a floating variable rate. It might be locked for a certain period of time. And then after that, it will reset. An operator can purchase what's called a rate lock or insurance on that lock. And a lot of people recently, you'll be seeing headlines that they didn't do that. They had a floating rate and now suddenly everything adjusted and they're in hot water.
You know, you've probably heard of various headlines, right? Number of commercial debts are in trouble. And that largely has to do with how, not just that rates have gone up. Yes, it's a big factor, but how fast the rates have gone up. So the St. Louis Fed, they track a whole bunch of things. One of the things they started tracking was the five-year treasury rate. They started tracking it in 1963. So all the way through today still. So from 1963 through today, in 2022, the five-year treasury rate more than doubled. The last time that happened was never. It had never occurred in the history of them tracking the five-year treasury to 1963. And as a result, you're seeing a number of things crack and a number of things still cracking. And we're going to see that play out, I suspect, over the next handful of years.
Yeah, I think that's a great segue into wrapping up this episode. So lots of math, lots of technical information here talking about interest rates. How does that actually impact you as an investor? A lot of these things are out of your control. They're out of everyone's control. But what can you do? What kinds of questions can you ask going into any deal, evaluating a potential opportunity to, as much as possible, mitigate those risks? And I'm going to keep reminding everyone, no investment is without risk. Every single investment contains risk, but it's up to you as a passive investor to snuff out as much risk as possible and make sure that the person you're investing with has done the appropriate work to try to mitigate the risk that is within their control. And this is an important part of your due diligence. And the place to start here is, what are the loan terms? Just get aware of the general loan terms. Is the loan appropriate for the business plan? What do I mean by that? If it's a long-term hold, you're going to want some sort of assurance that things are fixed for a longer period of time. If it's a value-add type of property, you want to make sure that you're not going to have giant potential swings in the interest rate over the period of that value add property. So make sure it's appropriate for the business plan. Is there a rate lock? Is one needed? Is it fixed? Is the operator essentially taking on necessary risk? Adjustable rates were really in vogue when debt was cheap and operators forgot that things could change. So always be looking for that long-term risk and make sure you're asking questions to ensure the operator is protecting and hedging against what's possible. So ask, how long is the loan term for? Is the interest rate fixed or floating? Is there an interest-only period? Neil, am I leaving out any questions here for an investor?
No, I think you're on the right track. How long is it fixed for? One of the questions would be, what's the prepayment penalty? So one of the things that we're doing today is we're very cognizant of the prepayment penalties. And here's why. It's my belief that somewhere in the next 5 years that interest rates are going to fall. I know, I don't know if it's next year or 3 or 4 years from now, but I want to be mindful of what's it going to cost us to redo a loan so that we get a new loan at a new lower fixed rate term. So it's one of the things that we want to be mindful of.
Yeah, definitely. But that's a good place to start, is ask some basic questions about the loan terms. And remember that at the end of the day, this comes back to protecting your investment, protecting your future returns, and making sure that before you invest any opportunity, you do your due diligence, not only on the operator, but now we're really, when we're into the weeds about the loan, we're into specifics of the property. So don't let your eyes glaze over when you see some nice fancy marketing. Make sure you ask those tough questions, get a grasp and an understanding on those basic financing terms, and you'll be well on your way to doing proper due diligence on the commercial loan and how that impacts you as an investor. Next week, we are going to cover where commercial debt comes from, who's lending on these properties, and how does a commercial loan get sourced and reviewed from the perspective of a lender. See you next week.
To our listeners, pat yourself on the back. You guys have made it to the end of the show, and most people never finish what they start. If you receive value from today's show, be sure to share it on LinkedIn, your Facebook page, or your social media platform of choice. Subscribe to never miss a valuable episode in the future. And if you found value in today's episode, give us a thumbs up with a positive review. If there's a particular topic you'd like to hear about, well, I want to hear from you. Shoot me a message on LinkedIn. The link to my profile is below in the show notes. You can connect with me there for more valuable content.